Okay, do I have permission to start?
Yeah.
Okay, women's year, Shara Avodas Elokim, Sunday night, or Lehei Iyar. We're in Perek Yud. Well, that's my son's birthday, Hey Iyar.
Okay.
My son is 16.
Oh my God.
I also have a daughter 20, and all that that implies. So,
wow.
Let's go. Let's have some suggestions.
Younger or older?
What?
I hear they're marrying the boys off younger.
No. I'm looking for the girl. The boy's shidduch that he needs now is he has to pick a yeshiva gedola, which is extremely scary. He's very young. I pray for a miracle that his yeshiva ketana will make a fourth year. I think it's such a I can't stand the 3-year system. I can't stand it. They're so young. And they throw them into yeshiva gedola.
Dafka Marana has 4 years.
It's good. Do those.
Very good. Mm-hmm. But most of them don't.
They don't. Yeah. They need a, you need a machina for yeshiva gedola.
It's a big step.
It's scary, a little kid, and he's going to go to yeshiva gedola next year. Okay, got that for the record. Amen. Listen, you say, Adheinu azvunu rachamecha v'lo azvunu chasodecha, v'al techeinu Hashem alokeinu v'netzach. Hashem was with us till now, and okay. Amen. Perek Yud. I want to say something about Perek Yud. It's even a little controversial, I think, so I'm happy no one's here. What he does in Perek Yud, in Perek Yud, he really, his purpose in Perek Yud is to do one thing, but I think he inadvertently, like what's called, raises the curtain and gives us a peek, and it gives us an insight into a different point. I'm going to explain what I mean. His overt point in Perek Yud is that you're in control of your midos, and there are different midos that a person has, and they can be two opposite midos. And he goes through a list: simcha, joy, and avel, mourning, being sad. Mora, being afraid, frightened, v'hatikva, being hopeful. Hagvura, heroism, being strong and heroic. V'hamorech, cowardice. Habusha, being busha, being ashamed of being, And azus, and being bold and in your face. A kas, getting angry, and rotzon being chilled out. You come, you take everything. Harachamim, having rachmonus, and achzorius, being cruelty. So he goes, and then Gaiva and Anova. And this Perek, primarily and overtly, goes through opposite Midos and says, there's a time and a place for each one. And a person should never say, although really we do say this, and it might even be true to a certain degree, but never to the degree that you can't overcome it. You say, I'm a shy person. I am a fraidy cat. I get angry easily. I'm a Kohen. I have red hair. I'm naturally humble. I'm naturally, now we do have certain tendencies. And the Chavis Halovus' point in Perek Yud, in this last Perek in Shabbos Elokim, after this whole build-up that he gave, that you're the Melech and you're in control, and Hashem gives certain situations and then this situation, when you're fighting with the Goyim, you have to be cruel. You have to kill babies. Amalek, Canaan, Yeah, you have to show a cruelty, and if you don't show a cruelty, it's going to come back to haunt you. And sometimes you have to show rachmanis, and sometimes you have to be bold in the face of evildoers. You have to stand up and take a stand, and you can't say, I'm naturally shy. You have to stand up and take a stand, and sometimes you stay in the background and you be shy. And that's what he goes through in this perek is... couplet, couplet, is there such a word? Like he goes through different midos and their opposites, and he depicts the scenarios in which you're supposed to pull out your malchus, you're in control, you're the melech of the city, and you're supposed to use this and you're supposed to use that, and Hashem gave you the ability to do that. And as I say, although a person... people do have tendencies. I think we see that that's a reality. But you have to overcome your tendencies when it's called for. His point is here that there's no... You are in control. That's really the point here. And that's what he depicted in the previous prakim. You're in control and you could... And a person has so many... All of these things. There's like tens, maybe hundreds of midos that we could make a list from A to Z, from Aleph to Tav, of different attitudes and midos, character traits, and you pull out the one that's necessary, and you follow the Torah, you follow the Shulchan Aruch, and sometimes you have to be, like I say, sometimes you have to be Busha, and sometimes you have to have Azus, and sometimes you have to have Ava, and sometimes you have to have Sinna, and sometimes, right? That's the thrust of the 10th parak. What came up in the first two, and that's a, you know, I want to make a remark that maybe maybe I won't, I'll chicken out at the end, is he talks about Simcha and Avelus. That's his first two that he picks. And he makes really, so again, his main point is when the situation calls for Simcha, pull Simcha out of your machsan of emotions, your machsan of character. So yeah, you pull out what you want. That goof is really an amazing chiddush. Perek Yud, it's a chiddush. A person has such kolchos hanefesh, and the Torah and Hashem sort of expects you to do it. And that's like saying, b'mokom shein anoshim ishtadal liyosish. And we all know of people, I think we all know of people, maybe we ourselves sitting around this table, who really wouldn't be the kind of person to do A, B, C, D, but you rise to the occasion, and it calls for it, and you do it. Again, and that's the thrust of the 10th parak. He says, though, he opens a window and gives us a glimpse into a certain hashkafa that he says, which I think is a remarkable hashkafa and a big chiddush. It's a remarkable hashkafa to have, and it's very extreme. It's very kitzoni, and I want to therefore explain what he means. He talks about simcha and avil in the first two. He talks about joy, being joyful, and being in mourning, being sad. And he says, and he takes the two extremes, and he really says, look what he says. He really says a tremendous. It's very extreme. It's very kitzoni. If someone says, "What would make you happy?" So you say, "My son got married. Oh, I was so happy that night. I was tremendously happy." Klavitzolova's like, "No, okay, you know, but that's not. That really shouldn't make you that happy. You're worried. Right? You don't know what the future holds. All sorts of things could happen. You don't know how long it'll last. You know." You don't really know if it's good for him. You're not really happy, he says. Real happiness is, and that's what he says, real happiness is that it will last forever. If you're confident that it will for sure be, right? My son gets married. I don't know what's going to happen next week. Right? I can't. So real happiness is I know it's going to last forever. It's not mixed with any sorrow. My son got married, and I'm sorry my mother's not here. It's mixed with sorrow. I'm sorry my mother's not here to see it. it can't be spoiled, then you should unleash your midah of simcha. So what is he referring to? Obviously, only Olam Haba. I mean, obviously. Now, if I would go to someone and say, you know, the Chavis HaLova says, and again, this is not his point in the Perek, but he opens a curtain, and he says, you know, the only thing that should really make real joy, and this is really what we say, because we say, Asa l'odom sheyimali yischok piv b'olam hazeh. You really, we break a glass, right? We're not really that joyful by a wedding. Yeah, just because everybody gets ecstatic when they break the glass. Right? Real joy is, I fulfilled the Ratzon Hashem, and I'm anticipating and looking forward to Olam Haba. That's going to bring me joy. Now that's kitzoni. It's like saying, there's no joy in the world, really. But it's not really. It's really not kitzoni. It's a remarkable hashkafa. It's saying that real joy is bonding with Hashem, doing the Ratzon Hashem. Olam Haba is an experience of pleasure that has no sadness mixed into it. It's consistent. It's forever. It's going to last. Nothing can spoil it. No one can take it away from me. It's mine. That's simcha. Now, so that's a remarkable hashkafa. And that means, to me, that means if I want to be, the Chavis HaLova is saying, if I want to be sameach, and my son gets married, really, only to the degree that Hashem wanted me to do this. And, you know, I fulfilled my obligations, and I came this far, and I did what I could. And if my son doesn't get married, I also did what I could. Right? Like, it's almost like there's no difference to me. This is what he's saying. Like, because there's a sadness, and then he describes, so sadness is if a tragedy occurs to a person. Like, there's nothing sadder than that. No. Well, this really is kitzoni. He says, sadness is something that's going to last forever, and it's terrible, and you can't escape it, and there's nothing good about it, and it's terrible. And he's obviously referring to Ganon. He's referring to being rachok from Hashem. And that means that anything else is not really, it's not the epitome of sadness. Right? We shouldn't really, he says it's almost agav in talking about the two midos and in talking about, you know, pull this out of your arsenal, put this out of your arsenal. He happens to give us a glimpse into an amazing hashkafa, that the only thing that should really make you happy, because everything else is tinged with sorrow, everything else is ephemeral, not going to last. It's here today, gone tomorrow. We should be nervous, scared. We don't know what the future will bring. We don't know what's going to be. And nothing should really make us that sad, because it's temporary, and we don't know. Maybe it's really good in disguise. And if it's not up to us, why should it make us sad? And there's nothing we can do about it. And this is, maybe it's an asoyon, and maybe this. And nothing should really make us that sad. What should make us sad, and then he describes, you want to be sad? You know, sadness is when you're violating Hashem's will, when you're rebelling against Hashem, when you're not doing what Hashem wants, when you're not doing your best, that's something to be sad about. So that he inadvertently opens a window on an amazing hashkafa. And this is what, you know, when people say, you know, you have to be besimcha, see, maybe if it's we talk about simcha sachayim, so it's true, but it's not really, it's only when it's connected to Hashem. Like, I'm not sure anymore. Like, I learned this Chavis HaLovas. I'm not sure anymore, and this is controversial, I'm not sure anymore of the value, of the lasting value, of what people tend to call Simchas HaChayim. Of course, you know, mitzvah gedolah liyos b'simcha, but simcha means I'm here and I'm ready to do Hashem's will, and I'm able to do Hashem's will, and I'm living for a purpose. But just to say, you know, come on, like a pep talk, what's it called, that other guy, another fella. Every day and every way, I'm getting better and better. Another guy.
Like
Norman Vincent. No, not Norman Vincent Peale. That was a Christian.
It was a medical doctor.
Yeah, like all these push to be besimcha. Yeah, you should be besimcha. It's better than being depressed. But it's really not. That's not the definition. Chavis Halavos is really giving us an insight into simcha, that it's, and into sadness. Like nothing really deserves my utter sadness, and nothing really deserves my utter happiness, other than my relationship with Hashem. That's really what he says. But again, it's not his point. I just thought it's interesting. When he's describing the midos and when to pull them out of your arsenal, that's what he says. So it gives us an insight. He doesn't say, like, okay, you're in control, so be happy when your child gets married, and be sad when you're sitting shiva, chas v'sholom. He doesn't say that. He really gives us an insight into true happiness, ultimate happiness, absolute happiness and absolute sadness, and it's extreme. So when should I be 50% happy